Open your Bibles first to Hebrews chapter 5. As I've shared with you of late, you know, God's been showing me some things. Just, you know, I can feel Him drawing me. I shared with you here not too long ago that I could feel as though He was taking me to a new level, new dimension, new place in Him. I mean, whatever you want to call that. And I praise Him for that. But what's happening is He's starting to show me more about the body of Christ. And I really don't know what kind of words to put all this in. I'll do the best I can. And one of the things that I had shared here in a couple of services, and I made some other references to it, is creating a place of His lingering presence. Meaning, it's not just about us as individuals, but corporately, we can literally create a place where His presence lingers. And I know that to some people may sound kind of far-fetched, but I mean, what it really means is it's kind of like, you know, you're dedicating a location and saying, God, this is your place. Now, we have types and shadows of this in the Old Testament. Remember when they would build these altars unto God? This is the presence of God. Remember the altar, you know, Bethel, you know. So there is an Old Testament type and shadow for this. One of the things that God has shown me, and it has answered, and I'm going to be sharing some of this with you tonight, it's answered a question in me that I've had for quite some time as far as, you know, what, there has to be more. Now, I know there's more. Blind eyes opening, deaf ears, lame, you know, the dead raised. No, I mean, I understand that, but when I say there's got to be more, I'm saying that not from the position of we need to see more power and more healings and more miracles and so forth, but it's like there's been something in me that knows there's more. And I wasn't exactly sure how to express that or what that more meant. Well, He gave me a glimpse of the more, if you will. And I want to show this to you. And I'm telling you, listen, if you will let this sink in tonight, if you will get this, I'm hoping it excites you the way it excites me, because it's, well, let me just show you. Now, I'm telling you ahead of time, this is really going to, I don't want to necessarily say upset the apple cart of some people's doctrines, but it will challenge where we are right now in our belief system. That's a good way to put it, okay? Now, in Hebrews chapter 5, now look at verse 12. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. This will we do. Now look at these next words. Look at this. What's it say? If God permit. Okay, now. See, you may not, by the time this is over, you may not feel the same way about it as I do. But to me, this is what I'm going to share with you. For me, this was like a breakthrough message. It was like God is saying, let me sit down here. Let me tell you what's about to happen in this world, in the body of Christ. And I said, okay. Now, look at this. In 6:1, he says, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Well, in 5:12, he refers to this, the first principles of the oracles of God. It's the same thing, okay? Now, notice, he says in verse 1, leaving these principles. Not ignoring them or dismissing them, but he's saying leaving them, okay? Leaving the principles and go on unto perfection. Now, if we're going to be leaving these principles, these first oracles of God, if you will, okay, what are they? What is this that we are supposed to leave and go on to perfection. Okay? Now look at this. In verse 1 of chapter 6, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Now, primarily what he's talking about here, the dead works of trying to live according to the law, meaning the law of Moses, you know, leave those dead works behind. But relative to us today, it's the dead works of the systems of man's religion which demand performance in exchange for blessings and anointing. It's leaving the dead works of the traditions of man which do not accomplish anything and going past that, okay? Now, repentance from dead works and of what? Faith toward God. Now, wait a minute. Is he telling us to to like leave behind faith toward God? What's he talking about here? No. The key is verse 12. You ought to be teachers. Okay, teachers of what? Teachers of the going on to perfection stuff, okay? But you can't and you aren't because you have regressed to the point that somebody's got to come back in here and rattle your cage and say, listen, you've gotten off the path of repentance from dead works. You're trying to earn stuff again from God. And where he says of faith toward God, from the Jewish perspective, they never lost their faith toward God. So he's got to be talking about something else here. Now, relative to this message, where he says of faith toward God, what does that represent to us? Now, don't throw anything at me when I say this. Hear me out. This is talking about the faith message. You say, hold on here. We're not supposed to leave. Now, wait, I didn't say we dismiss it. Think with me for a moment. For how many years have we heard teaching about faith and confession? You see what I mean? It's like over and over again. And I'm not saying it's a bad message. We need to hear it. And it's good at times to have, you know, to hear more teaching about it. You know, it just kind of refreshes us and so forth. But if we're going to go on to perfection, we've got to go beyond needing to hear somebody teach us about believing God's word and confessing his word to receive the manifestation of his word. You see what I'm saying? He's saying, leave it behind. In other words, you should know this by now, and you should, it should not be, you shouldn't come up here for, help me. You shouldn't have to come up here for prayer over things that you should have already confessed out of your life. Now, I'm not saying don't come up for prayer. What I'm saying is there are some people, all right, let me give it to you like this. Brother Martin, I need prayer for this, or I need to talk to you about some of blah, blah, and whatever. Okay, well, go ahead. Okay, you know, problem, you know, confess, explain, talk, share, you know. I just don't know what to do. Well, you know, if you begin to confess the word of God, yeah, I know, but, all right, in other words, you need to do something about your butt. If yeah, I know, there should be the doing. He's saying, we've got to leave this behind. If we are going to go on to perfection, we've got to come to the place to where we don't have to sit and listen to somebody tell us to confess God's word before we do it. Do you see what I'm saying? Okay, now, but what else does he say here? And of laying on of hands. Now, I'm not going to dwell long on this one, but you know, there are a lot of churches that don't believe in the laying on of hands. Well, we don't practice that here. Well, then, you know, you've become this bunch here that has need of somebody to come and teach you again, because this is a foundational principle, doctrine, oracle of God, you know, entry-level teaching that you're supposed to have down. If you don't have this down, you can't go beyond to perfection if you don't have this stuff settled. You see what I mean? What else? And of the resurrection of the dead. No, wait. I forgot the doctrine of baptisms. The doctrine of baptisms, plural. Now, I can give you three, all right? We're not teaching on it, but I can give you three right off the top of my head. Water baptism, baptism into Christ, baptism in the Holy Ghost. Those three right there. There are churches that don't believe or practice water baptism. It's like they may believe that it's okay to do it, but they don't even have baptistries in their church, don't want a baptistry in the church, never teach about water baptism. You guys have been around long enough, you've heard me teach on this, how it is a foundational principle for the body of Christ. And if you're listening to this and you need more teaching on it, man, I strongly encourage you to get my teaching series, Water Baptism, a Foundation for Believers. It will give you revelation that you've probably never heard in your whole life about water baptism. Baptism into Christ, people don't understand what that means. Baptism in the Holy Ghost, people teach against it. So those are three baptisms right off the bat. He says, listen, you've got to get beyond this. You have to go beyond this kind of, if you're still bickering about, well, do you sprinkle, half dunk, or full dunk? He says, this is foolishness. Now again, think of this from their perspective, the people that are writing this. They didn't have a problem with these issues. It's the Christians today that are having problems with these issues. And he's saying, you got to get beyond this. Resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this one, but let me just throw this out. Eternal security. You know, you have got to figure out what God's word says relative. Listen, see, I'm trying to get to where this other stuff, it's really good. But this is good too. Here's the thing. If you preach and teach eternal security, what you are doing is instilling in people a false sense of security into believing that they can accept and do anything they want and still be okay with God. And Scripture proves differently. And for some people, that's a strong root. Can I get a witness? Hallelujah. So I'm just simplifying this judgment and resurrection of the dead. Now, he says, we've got to go beyond this, okay? Now, until the oracles, these first principles, are grasped, it is essentially impossible to go on to perfection. Okay? Now, look at this. To say go on to perfection means that there are, now listen to this, greater and deeper revelations from God's word which have yet to be taught. Because all of these things that he's mentioning are contained in God's word, are they not? So therefore, if he says to go on to perfection, that means that there are things in God's word that must be revealed to us that will take us on to perfection. Listen, anything relative to your spiritual maturity and perfection is contained in God's word. It doesn't come from outside the parameters and boundaries of God's word. So what he's telling us in this is that there's more you need to know. There's more that needs to be taught. But as long as you're sitting around begging for more teaching about confession, begging for more teaching about baptism, begging for more, and I'm using that, you know, to illustrate, because nobody begs for these things. But as long as that's what you have to have, you can't go on to perfection. But notice he says in verse 3, you know, we'll teach these things to you. We will teach you the things that you need to know that will take you beyond where you are right now and on to perfection if God permits. And what does that mean? You can't teach what you don't know. God's not going to give somebody permission to teach something if they don't know what they're supposed to teach. You see this? Okay, now. Teaching, now listen closely to this. Teaching these oracles is what got us to where we are. See this? Do you understand what I mean by that? The teaching of the oracles has gotten us to where we are right now. It is the onto perfection teaching which will take us past this. Okay? Now think. That means every sermon we've ever heard about faith and confession is a first principle of the doctrine of Christ teaching. Every sermon we've ever heard about water baptism is a first principle of the doctrine of Christ. Every sermon we've ever heard about, being filled with the Holy Ghost is a first principle of the doctrine of Christ. Let's take it beyond that. We could throw in healing as well. Even though healing's not in this list, every sermon we've heard about healing is a first principle of the doctrine of Christ. Every sermon we've ever heard about praying in tongues is a first principle of the doctrine of Christ. These are things that the apostles knew and understood, and it's what they were teaching. And if you go back and you study out what they were teaching, you can see how they had a grasp on these things. In other words, these points were not issues. It wasn't like they argued about these things. It was kind of like, well, yeah, everybody knows that. Now let's talk about what we don't know. Let's hash this out here, what we haven't understood yet. Okay, now, if the teaching of the oracles got us where we are, that means we've got to hear teaching that goes beyond the oracles to get us to where we need to be. He said, let's go on to perfection. Now remember, this is God speaking. So think of it like this. God is saying, look, you've had all this teaching about all these other things, and you've heard it over and over and over, and it's not been bad teaching. But sooner or later, if you are going to go on to the fullness of your spiritual maturity, you've got to get beyond these first principles. And when you do, you can start receiving teaching relative to that which is going to take you on to perfection. Now, look at Matthew chapter 7. It's like, as the Lord is sharing this with me, I'm suddenly seeing how much of the teaching that's been going on over the last few years. This isn't a criticism, what I'm getting ready to say. It is absolutely not a criticism. But it's like the Lord's been showing me how that so much of it is, from His perspective, like foundational stuff. But it's stuff the body of Christ has lost over the centuries. Teaching and understanding that has been hidden from us. And God hasn't been the one hiding it, because it's been in Scripture the whole time. Things that were taught to the early church. And yet the traditions of man and the doctrines of man have watered it down and hidden it and kept it from us. And so now think about this. Now we come together, and I mean, think about how when you first started hearing teaching about praying in tongues and what it would do for you. I mean, it was like, wow, this is the greatest thing in the whole wide world. Pray in tongues, and this is, my goodness, wow, deep stuff, man. Well, it was to us, but it shouldn't have been. Because these are the things, now listen, these are things we should have heard in Sunday school as kids. And we didn't. You teachers in the Sunday school classes, you that have ears to hear, listen up. These are things that you need to be teaching to these kids. And so we hear some of this teaching, and it's like, wow, this is great. And we consider it meat, and God's up in heaven saying, no, it's not meat. This is stuff to get you ready for the meat. Because that's what He's talking about there in Hebrews. He said, you know, you need to go on to meat, but you can't, because you're still dealing with these first principles. We need to get on past that, and we'll do it if God will permit. Okay, now, in Matthew chapter 7, look in verse 28. Jesus has been teaching and so forth, and it says in verse 28, and it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at His doctrine, for He taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Now, there are other verses in the New Testament, the four Gospels, that are similar to this, about how the people were just overwhelmed by this teaching of Jesus. And they just, my goodness, you know, where does this man get this doctrine? Where does he get this kind of teaching and so forth? But here's what's interesting. If you go back and read everything that Jesus taught, there were times what He was doing was giving them a revelation or an understanding of something that had been written either in the law or the prophets. In other words, I'm not going to give you a specific example, but there were times where He would say something like, is it not written such and such, teach, explain? And the people would sit back and think, wow, how did He know that? But now think with me for a moment. These people were astonished at His doctrine, but they knew the law. They understood the law. And yet Jesus comes along and He starts teaching them from a different perspective, and suddenly they're hearing something being brought out of the law and being brought out of the prophets they'd never heard before. Why, He teaches, our scribes, our priests, they don't teach like this. And yet we know the law, okay? Now, let me show you something. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. As he is teaching these things to them, what is he doing? As Jesus would be ministering to them and explaining things about the law and the prophets to them that they had never understood before, what was he doing? He was bringing out mysteries to them, explaining things to them that had always been in the law and the prophets, but they had never understood it. And now here's Jesus. He's unlocking the mystery of something that was contained in the law or something that was contained in the prophets. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, Paul says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." Verse 10, "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." Okay, so what's he telling us here? He's saying, listen, the things that we teach are things that had been hidden for so long. It wasn't that they weren't there. They were there, but they were hidden. They were buried. They were mysteries. But where were they hidden? In the law and the prophets. When Paul was teaching, he didn't teach things that weren't revealed as, call it a type and shadow, or found, or, you know, like this is prophesied in a manner of speaking. These things were talked about. I mean, even praying in tongues was prophesied in the Old Testament. Healing was prophesied in the Old Testament. By his stripes, ye are healed. You see what I mean? So these mysteries that are being revealed, it's like an unlocking of those secrets so that we can come to the place of understanding what God had been talking about the whole time. When he was talking in the Old Testament about a new heart, you know, "I'll give you a new heart," you know, the stony heart, the fleshy heart. And so, well, we're it. That old heart of sin has been removed. And now we have God's life and nature. I mean, all these different things that were hidden and buried. And even though they could read the words, they didn't understand what the words meant. They thought they had an understanding, but the depth of the understanding had never been revealed to them. And so Paul comes along and he says, listen, these things that we're teaching you, these are things that had been hidden, locked up, and buried as mysteries for so long, and yet God ordained for us to have the understanding of these things. Now look at this. Which, in verse 7, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Okay, now let me rephrase this for the sake of this teaching. Which God ordained before the world unto our perfection. In other words, God ordained that we would come to the place of having an understanding of these things, and the understanding of these things that would be taught, these mysteries that had been hidden, would lead us to the place of, call it a glorified state of spiritual maturity that is referred to as perfection in God's Word. Okay? All right, now, look in Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. The very first two verses here, in Hebrews, I want to point this out to you, what God is saying. It says in verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Okay, now what's he saying here? Well, first off, take a look at this verse 1. In verse 1, he's saying, guys, this is the way it used to be. When God spoke to us, he spoke through the prophets, okay? Now, let's just simplify it and say the writers of the Old Testament, okay? When he spoke to us through them. And we ended up with what they had received. But that has changed. Now, he speaks unto us through his Son, okay? Now, how does he do that? How does God speak to us through the Son? Well, what did Jesus say over in John chapter 14 and in John chapter 16? He said, I'm going to send you another comforter, the Holy Ghost. Now, when he gets here, he is going to guide you into all truth, but he is also going to teach you all things, and he is going to show you things to come. So God teaches us by Jesus through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, think about this. If God spoke to us indirectly, use it this way. In verse 1, if he spoke to us indirectly through the prophets, do you think he would want us to understand what he said through the prophets? Absolutely. But as long as we had to depend on the prophets, back, you know, the Old Testament, as long as we had to depend on them, could we come to the understanding of everything he was saying? No. Because, and the proof of that again, is when Jesus was teaching and unlocking some of these mysteries to the people, and they were astonished at his doctrine. And so we come to verse 2, and it says, but in these last times, in these days in which we live, God is ministering to us through his Son, which ultimately comes through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, if there were things in the first verse that we had never come to the full understanding about, don't you think that God is going to, verse 2, give us the understanding of those verse 1 things? What did he say over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2? The mysteries that were hid from the foundation of the world, but God has ordained for us to understand them because it will take us to this place of glory and to this place of perfection that he wants us to have, wants us to, where he wants us to be in him, okay? Now, the things that the prophets spoke in verse 1, these things that the prophets spoke, now think with me for a moment, and here's where it gets exciting for me, and all I have is the tip of the iceberg, literally. This is all, I don't have any more than this. The things in verse 1 that were spoken, they have not all yet been revealed. The prophets, the things the prophets spoke. Now, just kind of let your imagination wander with me a little bit within the structure of God's Word, okay? How many times have you sat down and read in the Old Testament and read things some of these prophets wrote, and you're wondering, how in God's green earth does that tie into anything about us today? Seriously. And yet we know there has to be relevance, because they're mysteries that God has, that they've been secrets, mysteries, that but God ordained them to our glory. So therefore, there's got to be an understanding in there. Does there not? And so we read these things. You know, you get over there in Isaiah and you start reading. Get over there in Ezekiel, some of the stuff, and Jeremiah and some of these things that they wrote. And it's like, boy, it's so cryptic. It's like I read the words and I understand the meaning of the words. And if I don't, I can get myself a good, you know, Bible dictionary and look up the meaning of the words. But when it comes to grasping the message of the passage, I am clueless. I have no idea. And yet God is saying right here in his word that it is ordained for us to come to the understanding of these things to take us to this place of glory and to this place of perfection. That's what he's talking about over here in Hebrews when he says, look, we've got to get beyond just this thing of laying on of hands and the baptisms and the healing, the praying in tongues and all of this stuff. And if God permits, we will teach beyond that. But you've got to be in a position spiritually to receive this kind of teaching. So what God is, listen, the person that was writing Hebrews, they had an understanding of things that did not get revealed. And I'll clue you in on this. Read the rest of the book of Hebrews. The rest of the book of Hebrews is not the meat he was talking about. Because he said, you have need that someone teach you over again the first principles of the doctrine of Christ. That means the whole book of Hebrews is first principles of the doctrine of Christ. And yet I can also tell you this. Hidden in what is written. Let me put it like this. You read through Hebrews, the top layer is the first principles of the doctrine. But I'm telling you right now as I stand here what God has shown me. There are things in Hebrews that are going to take you back to some of these things the prophets wrote. Things that we do not yet understand. Things that God... Now listen, it's like, think of it like this. It's like God, he knows that spiritually we can receive this teaching. But our level of spiritual maturity is such to where he has to, now listen, hold back releasing the revelation of the teaching until somebody's ready to receive it and then pass it on. Can you see what I'm saying here in this? Now, this whole thing that God had been dealing with me about earlier, that I shared with you before, about this whole thing of the lingering presence, it ties into this. When you get into, and again, I go back, if you want to take the time to do this, go back and start reading Ezekiel. Start reading Isaiah. Start reading Jeremiah. Start reading the prophets in the Old Testament. And read them with a mindset that says, this isn't simply about what's going to happen to Israel. This isn't, because remember, later on in Hebrews, it talks about things that happened as examples for us. Okay, now, as you go back and you start reading through all of this, don't read it simply from the perspective of, well, this is what's going to happen in 70 years to Israel, and this is what's going, no, read it from the perspective of there's something in this that God has sealed up until these last days. Because he says here in the Bible, it talks about in these last days has spoken unto us by his Son. In other words, there is a revelation and understanding. Look, think with me for a moment. Let's look at this from maybe a logical perspective. All this, you know, all these books of prophecy in the Old Testament, you really think God's going to waste his time just talking about what happened 4,000 years ago? Do you really think that? And that there's nothing more to it than just a record of history? Oh, no. No, there's more to it. I'm telling you right now, what God has shown me is that there are some things that have been locked up in the Old Testament prophets that have yet to be revealed to the body of Christ. And those revelations are going to take us into a place of God's glory and God's presence where we have not yet been. Now let me read to you what God was showing me in this. There is a level of revelation knowledge of God that is about to be poured out on the church. Things about God's presence and glory that we've never understood will be made known. Now listen to this. Man, this is so powerful. There is a day-to-day walk in God that some will enter. It will be a walk that will be like a bridge between heaven and earth, similar to Jacob's dream in Genesis 28 when he saw angels ascending and descending a ladder into heaven. When the people that get to this place of this walk in God, here's what's going to happen. It's like they are going to walk, literally, it's like they're going to walk right into glory itself and stay there for a period of time with God and turn, and they're going to walk out from that place of glory and deliver unto the church those things that have been held secret for so many centuries, but God has ordained for our glory. There's a revelation coming of a place in God the church has never fully understood, that few people even in the New Testament, I think, understood. There's one person I think had a grip on this, and that was the Apostle Paul. He says, I was caught up into the third heaven, and I saw things that weren't lawful to speak, things of glory. I had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ, and what I'm here to tell you tonight is that there are people that are pressing in the direction of being caught up into that third heaven of glory and coming back to reveal to the church things that God's kept locked up for centuries that are going to take us to a place of perfection unseen in the church this day. Now listen to this. Here's what the Lord shared with me. The people that get to this place, he said their spirits will become storehouses and treasuries of revelation and glory. When they speak, their words will drip with anointing and bondage-breaking truth. It's like they're going to go into this place in God, and they're going to get their spiritual batteries are going to be charged, if you will. But it's like they're going to take a seat in the very presence, the very throne room of God himself. And as they sit there, they're going to receive things from him. And if you want to get a glimpse of this, go back into the prophets in the Old Testament and read how much they wrote about seeing the glory of God. They wrote about things the church doesn't know. And yet it's almost like, now bear witness with me on this. It is almost like they had an advantage over us, and we're the ones that are born again. And it's like God was telling me, he was saying, no, what they were doing was receiving from me prophecies that even the fullness they didn't quite understand. But what they were doing was receiving types and shadows of what's going to happen to the church today. People entering into the glory. It talks about I saw the Lord and his train filled the temple. God is saying those are prophecies of what's going to happen in this world today to those people who get to that next level of walking in the presence of God. This is, there is no way that I can put into you what God has shown me about this. I am telling you, we are headed in the direction of things being unlocked in the Word of God that we've never heard taught before, but it will be proven by the Word of God. It will be substantiated by the Word of God. And now here's what it's interesting. It's like God has given me, he's shown me how that it's like a full circle thing. How that the law and the prophets pointed us to Jesus. Okay, now we're into Christ and we start growing and maturing spiritually. And we've got the New Testament that's giving us great revelations of spiritual maturity and growth. And we never dismiss that. We never leave the principles of the New Testament. That will always be there for us, and we continue and grow in those things. But what he said is, those things in the New Testament, as you grow in those things, spiritually, it's going to help you come to the place of circling back to the things that had been prophesied in the Old Testament and the law, and the keys in the Old Testament help you unlock an understanding in the New Testament, but the keys in the New Testament are going to help you unlock a new dimension that's been hidden in the Old Testament, and it's going to be a dimension that's going to cause people to literally, in some places, you can write this down, in some places, people are going to see with their own human eyes a demonstration of the pure glory of God released into this world. Did he not say that the whole world would be filled with my glory? Did he not say, you will see and behold my glory? Did he not say that in the Old Testament? And we've looked at that as nothing more than allegories, nothing more than imagery. And God is saying, no, you've got to understand something. It's more than a bunch of imagery. What I have done is I have created a storehouse and a treasury in what you call the Old Testament. And there is a revelation coming to unlock these things that take you into a place of understanding me like you've never known me. Now, here's what's interesting. I wasn't even looking for this, and I found this prophecy that the Lord gave me. I don't even remember when he gave it to me. And as I begin to read this, some of you may recall hearing it. But as he's sharing these things with me tonight, that I'm sharing with you, it's like I find this and I start reading it. It's like all of a sudden I'm seeing it in a whole new way. Now, the prophecy was really, to me, to the body, okay? And there's some correction in here, I mean for me, but listen. He said, I have taken you to a place in me which requires more than you have ever given. You don't know how you can give more, but that's because you're trying to figure it out with your own wisdom. Give me time, and I will give you my wisdom, and you will know how to give me more. Now, listen, in light of everything I've shared with you tonight, listen to this. I want to show you things about the days to come that will impact you, your church, and my body. There is a new, higher level of teaching that needs to be released in my church. It is an apostolic level of teaching. It will not be new revelation, but buried revelation uncovered. Much of my word remains a mystery to my church. There are things even about creation that are not being taught. I do not see my word as segmented, but as a whole. I am tying the pieces together in these last days so that the anointing of the whole can be released. Too many of my preachers have high levels of pride which are keeping them from this higher level of teaching. They would use the revelation that I give them to build their ministries instead of my kingdom. As it is, there are very, very few teachers I can use at this higher level. The pride must be purged. I call this an apostolic level of teaching because it will be reminiscent of when the apostles were first laying the foundation of the church. I am even now preparing these teachers for this incredible outpouring. It is coming. It is even at the door. Praise God. And when I said, all I have for you is the tip of the iceberg, that's all I'm giving you tonight is the tip of the iceberg. It's like, I can see this tip, and I know what it represents, but that's all I know. And that's all I can share. But what God is showing me is that this kind of a thing, it's not just for me. It's for anybody who's going to press into Him. This ties in to what I have shared here recently about worship and worship creating that lingering presence, and what I taught on worship about how He inhabits the praises, and I share what that meant. It's like He takes His throne and sets up His throne in the midst of our... Okay, what He showed me, or didn't really show me, not like I didn't see it, but it's like what He shared with me was how that we, the body of Christ, okay, corporately, in our congregations, we can get to a place of worship to where, and I don't know how to describe it, but I'll say it this way. I'd hope that it makes sense. We can get to a place in our worship to where it's like a portal or a window of heaven opens up to where the glory of the worship that's taking place in heaven unites with the glory of the worship that's being released here on earth, and it creates, if you will, like a flow of glory that cannot be interrupted by anything the enemy is doing. Just imagine a beam of light coming down from heaven and a beam of light coming up from earth, and the two meeting right smack dab in the middle, and this is a beam of God's glory and God's anointing, and it's created by the worship of the saints. Praise God. This whole thing that's coming, I'm telling you now, it is going to shake the foundations of so much of the stuff that's being taught in the church. And what's going to happen is this. You're going to see more division in the body of Christ. Because there are going to be people, I mean, they are going to lovingly fight tooth and nail to keep these teachings out of their churches. And the people that teach these things, you better be prepared right now. You're going to be labeled a heretic. You're going to be called all kinds of names. People are going to come against you. But according to what God is saying in His Word, He is going to move in the fullness of these teachings. And I'll tell you something else that He just now showed me. As these teachings begin to, as people begin to get into this place to where they can receive the understanding of these revelations and these mysteries unlocked and revealed to them, He says, what's going to happen is this. As much as I have been able to move now within the truth that has been taught, as more truth and revelation is released to my body, it opens up more avenues for me to move more freely in their midst. Guys, I'm telling you, God is bringing some things together. Now, I want you to think of this, and do not take this as... how can I say this? Don't get prideful over what I'm getting ready to share with you right now, okay? But we, generally speaking, you know, the general atmosphere of this church and any other church that would hear this, per se, we had to be at a position spiritually to where God could even share this with us tonight. Now, the only reason that we're at that place spiritually is because we have applied things that have been taught to us. Things about worship, things about praying in the Spirit and so forth. And it's prepared us spiritually to receive some more of this new wine, if you will. Let me give you, that's right, John 10. I need to show this one to you. John chapter 10, to illustrate what I'm sharing tonight. This is not a teaching of John 10 or this one verse. It is an illustration of what I'm teaching, okay? Remember what I talked about? How that when people get to this level, it's like they're going to be walking into the glory of God and being there with Him and then coming out and releasing those things that have been given to them. I mean, it's going to be like firsthand teaching. I mean, we can't describe it. It's so incredible. But now look at this. In John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And, now look at this, shall go in and out and find pasture. What is a pasture? It's a place of eating, is it not? You're going to go in and out and you're going to find the meat that you are to receive that will take you to this place of glory and to this place of spiritual perfection. I mean, I'm glad God did not remind me of John 10, verse 9, until after he had given the rest of it to me. Because in my mind, my way of thinking, I would have thought I read that verse and that my imagination started kicking in with the rest of it. But it was after he gave me all of that, it's like he said, by the way, John 10, verse 9. Oh, yeah, go in and come out and come in and go out and pasture and yes, this is cool. Now, I'm sharing this, now this message tonight. It is prophetic of what is coming. But I want to encourage you, those of you that are here tonight and those of you that will be listening to this, I want to encourage you. It's like God said to me, I've taken you to a place you've got to give more than you've ever given. I want to pass that on. God's taken us to a place we've got to give him more. I mean, we've shut the television off. Or I mean, I don't know what it means for you and how it would apply to you. But what I'm saying is there is something that God, it's like he's up in heaven and it's like he's waiting. He's been holding on to some of these things for so long. And he's just waiting to release this revelation to the church, things that have been the mysteries and hidden for so long but have been contained in his word this whole time. It's like he's waiting to release this to anybody who'll get to that place to where they can receive it. Every one of you in here qualify as having the potential to get to that place. Now here's the thing. There are no age limits. So what do you mean by that? You bring me in a 14-year-old that's been in that glory and comes out with the pasture, I will sit and listen. I'm not above that. You mean you don't have the pride for? I'll fight it and I'll win it. Hey, you guys, you know what I'm talking about here. But what I'm saying is, hey, really, that's kind of prophesied, is it not? Your young men and your handmaidens and so on and so forth. I mean, if you'll take this message and start thinking of some of the things that God has said through the prophets, some of this stuff's going to start making more sense already. And I'm telling you right now, we are on the verge of something that is absolutely incredible. And let me go on and say this. There are a lot of different voices that are going to rise up to share these truths, these revelations. Be very cautious about who you shut down just because you don't like them because of something. What I'm saying is this, you don't open your heart to receive from everyone who wants to sow into it. But what I'm saying is, just because they don't walk in our camp, you with me? Doesn't mean that God isn't going to use them. Listen, not everybody teaches and ministers the way I do, or the way a Gary Carpenter does, or the way a Dave Roberson does. There are different people, different personalities, and different styles. But they can all go to that place of God's glory and receive from him and come back and bring the pasture. See this? This is why we've got to be so sensitive to the Spirit of God, to be very sensitive to who he's speaking through. And that's why, like John wrote over there in 1 John, the anointing that abides within to protect us against them which would seduce us. We've got to stay in the presence of the Holy Spirit for an increase of that anointing to protect us against those who would try to seduce us. Because listen, some of this revelation that's coming, I don't know what it is, but some of it's coming. Man, I'm going to tell you what. It'll be like when we first started hearing about praying in tongues and what it would do. This stuff's going to create the same kind of excitement. And like I said, it's just the tip of the iceberg. I have no idea the fullness of what this means. It's like God has said, this is all you can handle right now. It's okay. It's okay. That's enough. I'm excited. Praise God. I am excited. I say, let us make a determination that we as a church will become a congregation that fits in the description of what he's been talking about tonight. All of us. All of us. Let us become the ones that will go in and come out with that pasture so he can flow through us and reveal to the rest of the body of Christ what he wants unlocked, what he wants revealed, what he wants dug up. Praise God. I want that perfection. I want that glory. Amen.